You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
For the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
You ready? You ready?
Not quite. Not quite. Tradition unlike any other. The frantic untangling of the headphones. Bob Valvano plugs it in, sticks one in his ear, so he's dangerous. Now he can hear me.
Are we doing radio already?
We are.
It's only 12:08. What are we doing on?
I love you dearly. Today is not the day for me to have to chase you around.
It's not a good day for you to laugh either, because if you got back spasms, you don't want to laugh, and that's bad, because we love to make you laugh.
Every bit of me hurts.
Why
right
did somebody write, Nick, were there tissues in the box? What does that mean?
Tissues in the box.
Hey, Nick, were there tissues in the box? 11:36.
Oh. They were talking about the porn cards.
Here we go. Okay. I have to stop going anywhere where I'm not 100% sure what it is, because inevitably on this station, it's going to be some Beavis and Butthead thing. So there's
I mean, that's what sports radio is. The target demographic.
Sports radio is discussing what the best cereals are. And we want to know Wednesday.
A lot of people did not like my list. I think I passed out
you really
after
did.
I sent it in.
You really did not get a lot of support for your list.
Well, there were a couple glaring omissions, Reese's Puffs being one of them. Yeah, that's fair.
So,
but I'll be honest. I put Honeycomb on there as a sentimental one.
Why do you have an emotional commitment to Honeycomb?
Because Yaya always used to buy
She did?
Always used to buy it. And
his grandmother.
I always liked Honeycomb. But she thought I blankin' loved it.
Yeah.
So she would buy it every stinking time. And then
she didn't really listen to you. Jamie, she listened to.
Jamie just demanded that. You know, didn't even have to talk. Just would waddle in there as a toddler and be like, yep, this kid likes Lucky Charms.
Hey, here's an interesting thing. Somebody must have talked about this, but I've been running around. I've been busier than a one-armed pianist, as the line goes, so I haven't heard very much of anything. So it doesn't matter anyway. It's your own show. You address what you address. I was a bit dumbfounded when Roy Williams came out and just basically said, somebody want to give me a hand? I got this whole team I got to throw under the bus here. I'm a little older. I've had hip replacement. I can't do this on my own. If you don't know, I'm sure you do, he came out and said, this is the least talented team we've had here. And when they asked him about it, he didn't exactly double down, but he didn't run from it. He was like, he said he kind of was dumbfounded that like somebody would ask him about it. It was like, well, you all have eyes, don't you? I mean, it was kind of like, but that, I think if you're a player and you already feel like you're being heaved under the oncoming mass transit, that only makes it worse, because it's like, not only do I feel that way, but everybody feels that way. I mean, you can't see that. You got to be blind. Thank you, coach. You want me to go out in there and take a charge for you? Absolutely. What can I do for you? So I was, but again, I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. The only way I'm getting in the Hall of Fame is to buy a ticket. So I'm not second guessing. I'm just, as I always try to do, I'm trying to think to myself, why would you do that? Well, the obvious first answer is he's just frustrated, and he's a human being after all, and he's mad. But I think he's smarter than that. I don't think he would say, well, I'm going to vent even if it's going to blow my team apart at the seams. My guess is, in an awkward kind of way, I think there was some of that, though. He was pissed. He is way more hot-headed than people realize because of his, old Roy and dang it and all that kind of stuff, his dadgum stuff. He gets pissed off. So I think there was some of that. And then they asked Robinson, his senior, and he was like, well, yeah, I kind of agree with that. We do kind of suck. He didn't say it that way, but I was like, well, okay. But I think what he was doing was this in an awkward kind of way. All those other things may be true also. But I think what he's doing is when you're at a place, that is a heritage program, a Duke, a Louisville, a Kentucky, an Indiana, places that have had a laundry list of great players. I think that's what one of the things you're selling guys when they come to your school. You're no disrespect to Brad Brownell, but you're not going to Clemson. You're not playing basketball at Clemson. You're not playing basketball at Boston College. You're playing at one of the haves, one of the brand names. So I think when you say that, it's kind of along the lines of what I said earlier, that really find out who you are by mid-January. God bless Freddie Carter. We should find Mad Dog and see if we can get him on the show. He's an interesting guy. Most of you, if you're a regular listener, know, because I've referred to this about 10 times already, he said in the NBA, you know who you are after 22 games. Every time I bring it up, I'm still dumbfounded why he came up with 22 and not 25 or 20, but that's what he said. And that's about a quarter of your season. Well, a quarter of your season in college is not really indicative because in the first part of the game, you're playing a lot of teams that you clearly overmatch. You're much, much, much stronger than. And so if you take a quarter of a season, it's about eight games, eight of the 32 games, it's not really indicative because of those first eight games, a lot of them are against teams that are really not Power Five teams or the equivalent, like a Big East team or something like that. So I say you got to find eight Power Five games. And most teams wind up getting to their eighth game about another week or so. Louisville's eighth game against Power Five teams will be the Pitt game. Two more games, Notre Dame, then Pitt. And so you kind of know who you are. And I think what Roy is doing is he's trying to tell guys, hey, fellas, look, this is Carolina. We don't play at this. We don't have years this bad. But for us to be respectable, for us to get anywhere near any of the goals we've set, we've got to accept the fact there's not a lot of slack in the rope here. We can't go out and just diddle around for 20 minutes and then turn it on and all of a sudden let our 5-4-3 NBA caliber players just go take the game over. Some years you can do that. No coach would openly say that, but kids aren't stupid. They know. And I think he's trying to remind them, fellas, we have got to be absolutely, we've got to win with a whole bunch of old school. We got to outwork you. We got to get every loose ball. We got to play, do all the dirty work, the grunt work, because we are not as talented as the teams that have been here for years and years and years. And if you say, okay, we understand that's who we are now. I mean, that's one of the things that has worked in Virginia's favor for Tony Bennett. Tony has recruited guys who get it. He's recruited guys who don't view themselves as great, great individual players, even though you realize how good they are when you see how many he's got playing in the NBA now. But they buy into the system that he's going to play. They're not going to come there and piss and moan. When are we going to run, coach? We don't run here. When are we going to trap? We don't trap here. We do what we do. Every game we do what we do because that's who we are. And they buy in and they dig in and they do it and they've been good. Now, this year they're not as gifted even playing that system, but still he's committed to doing it that way and getting guys that buy into what he wants to try and do. You still need talent and they're just not as talented as they've been. But Roy is talking about if you go to Carolina, I mean, you don't go there with that mindset. They're not blue-collar guys that are going to have to, win by grunt work. They're going to find their he usually has a front line that's made up of like two NBA bigs, and you know they can overwhelm you at some point in the game. Don't have that right now. So my guess is that's the primary reason why he said that, is he's understanding, whether he buys into the Fred Carter school or not, to say, guys, this is who we are. I mean, if Cole Anthony comes back, great. He makes us a whole hell of a lot better. But, you know, if he ain't back, we have got to come to terms with who we are. And right now, we ain't more talented than very many teams in this league. So we have got to absolutely buy in to each other and to what we're doing, and grunt and do all that. I guess you know that. The whole atmosphere of the Carolina program has been a little bit of a, you know, a country club atmosphere. You know, the golf clap around the court, not having that, you know, the Cameron crazies and that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of the brand that they've had. And he's like, well, we've won a whole bunch of championships doing that. It's worked. But guess what? You guys are not in that category. You're going to have to get snot on your chin. You're going to have to get some dirt on your knees.
Sperry's.
On your Sperry's?
I don't know. If they're going for the whole country club approach.
You're going to have to get down and dirty is what it comes down
to. He doubled down with his comments.
You think he'd completely double down?
Well, I mean, this is what he said.
I interpreted it as he didn't back off, but I don't know. You know, you got to hear the tone. I just read the words. It didn't sound
well. This was after their loss to Pitt last night. So yes. In the post game, he was asked about it, and he didn't exactly retreat.
And you know, we've had some teams that have had a lot more than this.
Wow, that's really low.
Anybody wants to make something. That's their prerogative. I mean, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. Never have been perfect. Don't really care to be perfect. I've made a statement that if anybody in here disagrees with it, that's your prerogative. But my guess is, if you look at it, you'd probably agree. So I'm stunned by how it gets so much attention. But you know what? I don't know if you guys don't tell me. He doesn't tell me. I didn't know it, because frankly, my dear, I don't read that BS. And, you know, we've lost a lot of games. We've won a couple.
And then he faded out?
No, that was me.
Why did you fade him out?
Because the clip was over.
Oh, how about this? Sorry. Being texted during the show, because that's what our family likes to do. Your brother says, I called into, you know, he doesn't listen to anything now except
us?
No, the satellite hockey station.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah. And he called into his first hockey show today. He became a caller now. Now he became that longtime first-time guy. Oh, my God.
Really?
Should we ask him what he called?
Yeah. I wonder if I can find the audio of it. That would be great audio. Because they hang up and they're like, wow, what a great call.
Well, you got the great response. One of your claims to fame when you were in high school or however long ago it was, when I had Danica Patrick on the national show and you gave me a question and I asked it. And he said, you know that? She said, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
And then I had to confess. Skippy. I said, oh, it's not my question. My son gave me that question.
Then when I asked you to ask for a number, you dated for two years
and then got ugly after that.
She dumped me for Aaron Rodgers.
That witch. Let's see.
She was just mad. I drove a stick better than she did. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, she's one of those interesting women, by the way. If this comes across as, I don't think it'll be inappropriate. I wouldn't go there if it were, or at least not deliberately.
We opened talking about porn cards. So,
you know, that's your business. I didn't go there. That was you and Locke. And Locke's always inappropriate. But she's attractive when you see her in person. She's even prettier.
Oh, yeah. No.
She's just, when you see her in person, you go, wow, that is a good looking woman. She's a beautiful girl. And
she's got really pretty eyes.
She does. She's got a pretty girl. And I liked her. I liked it her.
She had a good way about her. I'm acting like I knew her, but just
no. She does. I mean, that we can only. I've said that before. We're only going by the very limited time we were around them. So I mean, if you say you don't really know them, agreed. We don't.
She was really.
But
friendly.
I've also found a bunch of people in the 5 minutes I've interviewed them I thought were asshats. So you know, so it may not be fair, but that's what we do. And some of the best people I've talked to are very often, frankly, the race drivers, maybe because there's so much pressure on them to be good around sponsors and stuff. But Dale Jr. is a fantastically nice guy to talk to. Jeff Burton was terrific. His brother Ward doesn't have a whole lot of personality, but boy, he is really dry. He's as dry as a matzo cracker, that guy. But Jeff is a great guy. Jeff Gordon was spectacular. He was fantastic. Laughs easily. I had a great time with him. We might be able to get him on, you know.
Yeah. No, we mentioned him for Hall of Fame week.
I'd like to do that.
Are we ever going to do that? We need to do that.
Well, now's kind of.
No, now's not the time to do it because it's in the middle of
basketball.
We'll do it
again. We got great response. We did it last time. That's a guarantee. If you say it on the air, then you live up to it. We're going to have another Hall of Fame.
But we've said that before.
No, but we are. Haven't. But we said we were going to. We never picked a day. We are going to have it now right after Derby because basketball ends. Then there's the Masters and the Derby. And then we'll put that to bed. And then we will have a Hall of Fame week right after that.
Right after Derby.
I don't mean right after, like the race is over and then you tune in and we're talking to Babe Ruth or something. I mean, I'm talking about that month.
Well, he's dead, so that'd be pretty impressive.
Very one-sided conversation. That would be awful. Although, imagine if we got him on. Do you know the ratings we'd have? That would be unbelievable. Tuesday on the V-Show, Babe Ruth. And it'd be great because somebody still would be nasty. Somebody would still text us. What are you talking about? You have Babe Ruth on. Why don't you have Lou Gehrig on? I mean, that's unbelievable.
I'd love to see the stories all over Barrett Sports Media.
Where does the Beach Boys guy rank on your niceness list? Serious question. You know what? In hindsight, and we're talking about Brian Wilson, who was – I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole with that, but for people – because we reference it all the time, but people may not know. They were in town doing a concert here about 2 years ago. Very often the local promotion company will call you and say, hey, do you want somebody from that to help promote the concert? And we're like, my God, yes. I mean, if you – I'm not an expert on any history, but I'm fascinated on just about every history. So I dabble in history. So I told you, I just watched that spectacular 10-part series made for Netflix on the World War II in color. They colorized all the old footage, and it's sobering, and it's great. It's 10-part, 10 one-hour shows. It's great. So I've learned a little something about that. I love when I was sick about a year ago, I basically lived on the Behind the Music specials. I watched all the Behind the Music stuff. So I'm always interested in that, and I'm always interested in greatness. I love to, you know, read bios and learn about people who are great. And Brian Wilson in the music spectrum is regarded by his fellow musicians as, I can't describe it. I hope the millennials know what we're talking about. When you talk about Paul McCartney, you know, and the greatest, like one of, you know, the one of the two surviving Beatles, that's just, they're on another level. Even among their peers, they are, it's, you know, you've seen that. Basketball players, to be in the NBA, you got to be a great player. Then there's Michael Jordan or LeBron that other players are jazzed up about meeting. That's the Paul McCartneys of the world, or pick somebody else that maybe a more contemporary one, but of that ilk. Brian Wilson is on that not only because of his success, but innovation. They did an album called Pet Sounds that Paul McCartney says inspired him to do Sgt. Pepper. They were trying to one-up each other. I mean, these guys were considered by their peers. People are listening to this and saying, I don't know, you may listen to it now where you go to the movies and, you know, entire station wagons come out of guys' heads. You know, you don't think it's a big deal. But back then, what they were doing was tremendously innovative. And so I was really excited about having him on. And then he came on and he was...
Was that the worst interview you've ever conducted?
It was an inch away from incoherent. He absolutely was. Guy says, Brian Wilson is the singular weirdest interview I've ever heard. And it used to happen a lot when I first got into business. You know, if you went to the David Letterman show, which I did, the studio was always kept at like 50 degrees. And that was because of David. Because he would, if the interview would get stumbly, literally break out in a sweat. And he didn't want to break out in a sweat. So you'd see people in the audience sitting there with their winter coats on. I mean, it was that cold in there. Well, when I first started, that was my yardstick, too. If I started to feel the sweats coming, I was like, this ain't going well. And now I just laugh it off because I'm older and that circle we've talked about gets smaller and smaller. And so, you know, you just do the best you can. And if you stumble, you stumble and you laugh about it, move on. I had the sweats break out then because I was like, I don't know how I can get this guy. There's a couple of, for you youngsters in the audience, here's a couple of tips. If a guy is not forthcoming, do not ask him a yes or no question. Ask him a why or how question, because you can't answer a why or how question with just yes or no. And if you want to try and bring the guest into his comfort level, ask him about something, if you've done your research, that you think would be a happy memory for him, that he would be happy to speak about. Okay, so if you do that, we tried every trick in the book. Nothing. Got absolutely nothing. And I could feel flop sweat starting. I was like, oh, my God.
I was feeding you questions that his people had told me.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Ask him about this. Yeah. They ask about the Red Sox. I was like, oh, this will be safe. He's a Red Sox fan. So you're a Red Sox fan. Yeah. Okay. I did made a mistake. Yes or no? All right, let's, how did that come about? I don't know. I just like him. Hey, great. Thanks for that insight. If this doesn't win a freaking Marconi, they're screwing me again at the committee. I was like, oh, my God.
That's sort of making me hack. I'm sorry. That was.
I was like, so what? Well, you know, I was like, okay, he's not a yes or no. Talk about his concert. He's, that's what he's here for. What are we going to hear that night? Some really good music. And I looked at Pratt's face, and I could just see the blood draining out of his face because he was like, you know, the great thing about Mike is, he certainly is happy to let you take the spotlight. And he was looking at me like, go ahead and drown on your own, SOB. I ain't helping you, mother trucker. You're on your own with this one. And I was like, thanks, Mike. So I was like, okay. Oh, my God.
Were you guys on remote?
No, we were here.
Were you?
No, we were on remote. We were on remote.
You were on remote because I didn't see the sadness in your faces, but I could hear it in
your
voice.
Oh, my God. And then I got overly pissed off, which happened on occasion.
I could hear you just go, mm-hmm.
Like, oh, and then I ripped them, and I said, well, I don't know who, you know, I listen, you know, they're promoting it, but I'm just telling you, I'll know one guy who's not buying a ticket to that damn concert.
Yeah, that was,
but I watched the shows afterwards. I'm a compassionate human being. He's a tortured genius. I mean, the guy's father was a whack-a-mole, and I say that very respectful of anybody's parents. And he had a lot of, you know, knock wood. I've had so many problems in my life. Drugs has not been one of them. So I don't know why or how you do that, but he obviously had a very serious drug problem. And I blame, in hindsight, the promotional company. I mean, you talk to the guy. How can you think you could put that guy on the radio? I mean, I don't know how he goes out and does a show. I guess like a wind-up doll. I mean, Frank Sinatra, all due respect, was like semi-senile, and they were still running his ass out for concerts. They actually would have the lyrics on these big – these are songs without exaggeration. He sang, I don't know, 2,000 times, right. And the lyrics are running on these big – prompters, because first of all, he can't see anymore. He's like 80 and he can't remember the words. So he's one show. This is sad. He didn't remember his son was the band leader. Mm. I mean, that's just cruel. I mean, I know you all want to eat at the trough, but sometimes you got to yell, dinner's over. Like, you go to a Louisville game in the press room, that pregame meal is done at halftime. You haven't got your food by halftime. That's the way it goes. Take it in. So, you know, that's what they should have done with them. But, Bob, your interview tips about not asking yes or no questions are great tips for salespeople. Maybe you should train the sales staff. I'm open to do that. Give me a call. I'm actually going to speak to the Aflac people. Looking forward to that.
You getting a duck?
I already have one, but I'd like another one. You squeeze it, and you know what he says?
What's he say?
He says, hi, I hope you're having a nice day. No, he says Aflac. What do you think he says?
I know. I was trying to think of something funny.
I was too. I best
right?
I could come
I don't,
up with.
That was,
there was no place to go with that. Oh, I'll tell you what raced through my head. The commercial with Yogi Berra. Remember when he was doing the Yogi Berra and he's talking,
oh,
Yogi's
yeah.
talking to
Yogi's
talking to
the doing all the,
nothing you can do about
the Yogi-isms.
Please don't get Babe Ruth on your show, especially after Derby. He's an overweight, overrated old-timer. I hear he's a horrible interview. The guy says, hey, wait a minute. You haven't brought Babe Ruth on the show? That's, these are my listeners. They get it. Guy says, I got the sweats just listening to that interview. But another guy says, I disagree. The Brian Wilson interview is the most entertaining interview ever. Well, that's because you're that guy who says, well, those two cars are awfully close. Yeah. I hope they hit.
It was a train wreck.
It was not entertaining.
The best part of
it
that
was
interview,
absolutely not entertaining.
The best part of it, though.
Was what? When I got mad at the end when I hung up on him?
No, when you guys came back and your mother truck and everything. And Pratt being the voice of reason or just the voice of calm just goes, yeah, Bobby. That was less than spectacular.
That's exactly what Mike would
that
say.
That was less than stellar, I think is what he said.
It's the art of understatement. We're gonna play a game today. You have to help me during commercial break. You have to find us. Since we're so loaded down with guests. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're not. So what? Which is okay. Nice to have you back. I was watching something last night. I can't tell you what it is because I will give away the prize, but we're going to do a mystery voice. And I'm going to tell Nick where to find this particular voice. We're going to play a little snippet of it. And I know all of you know who the person is, but I'm going to be interested to see if you can tell who it is from this small sample size, which we'll give you in just a little bit. So there you go. Let's see. Have Babe Ruth on. Get more quit talking baseball texts. Yeah, that's actually the line I should have had. You have Babe Ruth come back from the dead, and somebody would still text the show, "Hey, Asat, we're playing Notre Dame tomorrow. Didn't you see that?" Yeah, okay. You do realize it's Babe Ruth. Yeah, Babe Ruth. What, do you got a candy bar on? What, are you going to go Henry next, you jackwad? You know who you are? You're in Louisville, Kentucky. You know anything about Reddy, you jackwad? You idiot. Hey, idiot. So, there you go.
Why did you say that when Crean came in here?
State your business. I didn't see him. Isn't that terrible? I mean, Crean's hard to miss. No disrespect, big fella. But there's a glare here. I didn't even see you walk in. So, state your business. What are you doing here? You have no business, right? You just wandered
all
in.
All the computers are taken, so I'm just
keeping Nick company
until something opens.
Here we
up.
Go. That's my show. That should be our trademark. Our trademark. You know, bestie. We're just killing time. That's how we roll here on the V Show. Bob, not trying to monkey wrench the show, but did you know National Bobblehead Day was January 7th? Did we know this? We did not know this, did we? Did you know that?
I did not.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap.
You need to get some.
I haven't had a bobblehead in a while. I need a new one. I want the one. There's one that is a, the Louisville Cardinal bird and the Kentucky Wildcat. Have you seen that one? They're standing. They have their fists up like they get ready to box.
But that's,
it's kind of silly. I don't like that. Although I
neither
can.
One of them have thumbs.
So you can still punch each other. Thumbs. I mean, you can't thumb a guy in the eye.
But they're making fists. They're making balled up fists.
Is the game going to be bust a nut again? No, it's not. Diener with Rudy interview was equally as bad. Rudy as in Rudy from the movie?
Oh, I... Really?
I don't know. I'm just going by what a texter said.
I'm not sure.
Sweeney would know. If there was something disastrous that went on here, I promise you, Sweeney's probably got it saved on his phone. He lives for... I said, you know what would be a great class at one of the local universities is studying the various methodologies of our on-air people here. I mean, locks would be. Locks would be. Let me tell you all the reasons why this is going to happen. Let me tell you all the reasons why I'm sure it's not going to happen. And then, no matter what happens, he's right. And if somehow it falls in the crack, then the data changed. So that's his methodology. Sweeney could take winning the lottery and make it sound like the most depressing thing that's ever happened. That's his methodology. Mine is. But everything in the world bake because history shows us as soon as you make even the most slightest definitive sentence, you are exposed as a horse's ass, which is what you are. Nothing. You know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. Headline tomorrow. Sun, first day in history, sun does not rise. You know, that's how the world works. Diener's mad at everything and everybody. That's his modus operandi. No, the problem is the attorney general he's dating is softening him a little bit there. Oh, that'll be the mixtape. Put it on the mixtape. So
what's Ennis's MO?
Ennis is
it's a little bit of everything.
That's a good question. What would his MO be? Blanket Baker is ranting about every possible thing in the world working against Louisville. The officials hate us. The government hates us. The Russians hate us. God's not pleased with us. Everybody hates Louisville. It's amazing if they ever win a game. They've had to overcome every possible challenge that's been in their way. Rummage is convinced that Louisville will never lose in anything ever again. They will win every event. He's already broken down the cross-country schedule for next fall. He's convinced they won't ever lose. Let's see. What else? Well, Maben's a hard one to pin down because he sees it as a player, so he sees it a little differently than most fans. I know, don't say that. You know, I didn't coach him to play.
I mean, he does it sometimes.
But he does.
He does it sometimes on purpose. But I think Maben's thing is everyone is going to be a lottery pick. Like he said, Honest was going to be, like, mark it down, Steve. Like,
yeah.
Taco Fall is, like, the best player.
Yeah, that's true. He's that guy that says, what? Did he really just say that? And on purpose. Then he chuckles to himself when he gets off the air. That's about right. I like that. So you could do a whole study, a whole class in that. The problem is Drew's got to manufacture some now. It's kind of like a real pearl and an artificial pearl. He had real pearls for years. Now the AG is making him too happy. He's got to like remind himself. Like Red Barber used to have an egg timer when he was doing games on the radio, and he turned it over. And when he got to the bottom, he made sure he gave the score. Because on radio, you don't have that little bug. You can't look at the scoreboard, so he'd make sure he gave the score. Which, by the way, young announcers should probably use as a... I listen to games now, and I listen for 15 minutes, and you don't know what the hell the score is. But Diener has that now, and he turns it over. He's like, damn it, I'm mad at somebody, and I got to get pissed at somebody here, something. I got to find something to be pissed at. And he can always go to the well. People don't know he's got a big barrel next to his desk of just things that American Airlines has done to him or others. And he can always just reach in and say, here's one. Would you believe that they actually...
Or the state of Charlotte.
The whole
state of Charlotte.
Wow. There you go.
No, I did that earlier.
He hates
today.
Charlotte, too?
Yeah, he hates Charlotte. Although it's that's softened a little bit.
Well, because of the Attorney General.
But there's still a few that he's just he's non wavered in his anger towards the who's the commission that the Lightning Commission or whatever.
The Lightning Commission.
No, yeah, he.
There's a commissioner of lightning.
Oh, I'm butchering it. I'm sorry. I'm still shaking off the NyQuil, but it's the group that basically, for safety reasons, if there's any lightning in the area, they make it so that you have to leave the pool in the summer.
Oh yeah, but, yeah, that's right. He hates that. Yeah. If the lightning is anywhere within the state borders, he's allowed to leave right. his pool. He takes that very seriously.
Yeah, well, you gotta get out there. Get a nice tan on. Enjoy. Well,
now he doesn't need to be showing the pecs anymore. He's got the lady.
Still want to show?
No, he's
pecs.
Got her. She's nice, by the way.
She is very nice.
Bob, you guys let us get behind the curtain so much, it's appreciated that I have got to the point where I'm sure there's nothing left behind it anymore. That's how we roll here. That's how we roll. You know what? You never have to keep track of did I tell them that or not? Because if it happened here, chances are I told you about it. Absolutely, that's kind of how it goes. All right, I'm going to go find this mystery voice. And do we ever get Globetrotter tickets? Did they give us any tickets to give away? Are they basically, I called her out on the air to get a ball, and she never gave me the ball.
Really?
Yeah. So I think I may lead a boycott if Globetrotters don't go to the game.
That's awesome.
So after they sent a nice picture, we had a great time going to ESPN Louisville. Oh, it was so much fun. Oh yeah, where's my ball?
Oh, by the way, that was awesome.
Spinning the ball?
No, I called the.
Sure, you wouldn't think that was good.
I didn't see it. I'm sorry. I was going in and out, man.
Go ahead.
After the Brian Wilson, I called the lady that set that up, and I was like, hey, did we piss him off? Because we got to him like a minute late or whatever, and I was like, oh, God, what do we do? And she was like, no, that's just how he is. And she could not have been nicer. It was basically like, do you want a fistful of tickets? Meanwhile, I'm hearing you, mother.
I'll never go to that concert. You give me a whole row. I'll never go to that concert.
And I was just like,
now I'm sorry I didn't go.
Had to mute you a little bit, and I was like, maybe. Thank you.
Now I'm sorry I didn't go. There's people that when they don't perform anymore, you will regret that you haven't seen. I saw Paul McCartney at Great American Ballpark. He played a doubleheader against the Phillies. That was not a good matchup, but I saw him there.
Oh, let's play too.
Yeah, and Paul. I saw Frank Sinatra in college before I really had gotten into his music. I felt bad about that. I would have enjoyed it a lot more, but at least I can say I saw him. I saw Pele play soccer at the Giant Stadium for the Cosmos, scored a goal. They won 3-2. My boy Shep Messing, the goalie, my hero. He, I think he only gave up one goal. I think it was 3-1. Giorgio Chinaglia, my Paisan striker, had two goals in the game. Pele had one. 66,000 people watched a North American Soccer League game at Giant Stadium. 66,000. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, speaking of which, I'm surprised you didn't call me out on this. For the people who, don't want to acknowledge hockey, they had 86,000 people at the Cotton Bowl to watch the Midwinter Classic. 86,000. 86,000. And not only was the Cotton Bowl filled to the brim, the Nashville Predators, who are the opponents, they treat it like a bowl game. They must have taken 3,000 people down there, maybe more. I mean, they treated it like a holiday. It was fantastic. And it was a very entertaining game. The home team won, which is probably better in the big picture. But
4-3 or 4-2. I'm sorry,
but let me give you the lock take on it. Up, lowest rated game they've ever had. Lowest rated Winter Classic. Hockey's dying. Nobody will play it soon. They're going to melt all the rinks and have water skiing. I mean, but, not realizing that's the way it's always worked out, because the fact of the matter is, nationally, the games that have done the best, that have done four and change in ratings, have been games that have been between original six teams, Chicago, Detroit, places that have big pockets of hockey. But this was Nashville and Dallas, and so they had great ratings in those cities. In fact, Dallas, it was one of the highest rated sports events they've ever had. But the rest of the country didn't even pay any attention to it. And it's a shame, because there's a highlight of it, condensed game on the NBC app, and it was a fantastic game. It was a really, really entertaining game. But, Tim Sullivan has a piece about nobody's going to games anymore and why, and a lot of the reasons why people aren't going are all the same. It costs too much money. I got an 80-inch high-def TV. I can see better at home. I go get a beer out of my fridge. That beer probably cost me $1.16. If I get a beer at the stadium, that cost me $116. Parking, I can't get out. I got to leave at the under 5 minute mark again. The Cards fans doing their thing. Got to get out. Got to go. At first, I swear, the first time they did, I thought it was an air raid. I thought we were getting attacked. I was like, holy crap. I ducked under the table. Paul Rudd said, what are you doing down there? I said, I assume there's an air alert. He said, no, it's just 4 minutes to go. I said, oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Because they just, en masse, out they go. Why would you want to see the end of the game? Doesn't make any sense. So I've started to do that in everything I do. I go to the movies. I leave 5 minutes to go. It's good in the restaurant because I leave before they bring the bill. So that works out fairly well. The waiter doesn't like it much. Yeah, but
the folks at Equus would like a word.
It's not particularly good if you're involved in any romantic endeavors, but again, that's your business. Sorry, got to go. Are we done here? Excuse me. I think we still have a good 5 minutes to go here. Nope, got to go. Where the hell are you going? You live here. No, I got to go. Got to beat the traffic. Traffic? The hell kind of relationship do we have here? Sorry, got to go. It's just, and it works great at work, too. What are you doing, Bill? It's 4:15. I got to leave. We work till 5. No, I got to go. No, I got to go right now. Why? I just have to. It's what I do. It was unbelievable. So there you go. Let's see. Guy says, I should have called. She's a sweet girl. She's a pretty girl, too, by the way. I don't care. You're allowed to say that. I say when a guy's a good-looking guy. I'm not trying to make a pass to either one of them. But Hoops Green, Brianna Green, who was with us last night from the Globetrotters, was a terrific player at Lexington Catholic. They won 2 state championships. She's a very nice person, very pleasant, and she brought one of the official Globetrotter balls. My birthday's coming up, by the way. I'd like to point out you can buy them online for about $36. 1, 2, 3, we got like 6 producers, $6 each. Kick it into till because I treat the producers here better than anybody else. Show of hands if I treat the producers better than anybody else. Thank you, unanimous. Put your hand up, big-headed producer. You only want to vote. Oh, that's not the kind of vote we were looking for. That does not indicate how many votes you get by putting one finger up in the air like that.
I thought this was a democracy.
No. It's just the whole hand would be great. So that would be a nice gift. So they have one, and I wanted to do a picture where we're both spinning it. And the only other ball we could find is a ball that's meant to be autographed in Diener's office. And that has those 2 panels that are very slick. And so she spins it on her finger. She spins it clockwise. So you take it with 2 hands, and that's how most people do it. And they spin it that way. And I do it with 1 hand and spin it clockwise, counterclockwise.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to do when the ball is slick. So I could not get the Drew's. Here we go. Put it, Getty, ready, whoever, the little jockey in the back who gets stuff from the mixtape, get ready for this one. You want to put this on the gold reel. So I couldn't get my hand around Drew's ball. There you go. Hey, how you doing, everybody? Thank you, Beavis. Beavis just literally, his head popped off. He was so excited about that one. Just so thrilled about that. There you go. That could be the opening act for the mixtape. So I couldn't get her I could not get a grip on it to spin it. And so she was nice enough to let us switch. So I had the Globetrotter ball, which is the ones they actually use. Oh, I had a great grip. So I spun it. I had that. And since she uses 2 hands, she could get 2 hands around Drew's ball. There we go. There's the encore version. And now she's going to sue us on top of it. Hey, it's Brianna's lawyer out front. So there you go. And so she spun it, and she had that going, and I had the other one going. And this is absolutely true, and God bless her, she laughed because I did catch. It's really sick. If you work here for a week, you won't be able to put a sentence together without being worried you're saying something that somebody's going to mock. I had the basketball from Mr. Diener's office. There we go, so you can't use that again. And as I was trying to make it spin, I said, the problem is, and this is what I actually said. I said it halfway, and then I stopped. And then I said to the collective people in the room, I can't finish that sentence because at my stage of life, if you say, I can't keep that up long enough, people are going to completely misinterpret what you mean. And God bless Hoops. She busted up laughing because I really didn't do it to be snarky or be, you know, to be trying to slip a little double entendre in there. I meant the ball on my finger, obviously. So I said, I'm not sure I can keep it up long enough. And that was perfect. And so, which is good because the woman from the Yum Center was really hitting on me up till there, and she just took off. I'm completely lying about everything except that line. That was not true. And so, so if you work here, you can't say anything without visualizing the Beavis and Butthead producers.
I can vouch.
He was taking the video of it or picture of it anyway. So yes. So I thought it was a. You can't say something like that and not acknowledge that you've said the most blatant double entendre. So I did. Double entendre. Do you say the RE? It's French. Is it double entendre? It's double entendre, right? The proper pronunciation?
Double entendre. Yeah, double entendre. Yeah. By the way, Process just handed me 5 singles.
Get up and dance, witch. Up. Everybody, you'll want to be a member of the studio audience. Nick is now in the control room twerking with his bad back. This is a visual that you do not need to see. Oh, my God. You gave him $5 for that? I wouldn't give more than 3. You're definitely overpaying for that. And if you start doing lap dances, I'm leaving.
I can't freaking move right now. So, no, people would be making it hail, let alone making it rain. No, he's giving that to me for your birthday gift.
Oh, I love this kid. Love this kid. Right now he's sliding right into the second spot behind Jamie on the list.
I mean, there's like 9 people clogged into that spot.
People actually are stupid enough to believe that, so I shouldn't even joke that way. I love my Nikki Buss. I missed you the last 3 days. Although Sweeney didn't, because Sweeney, of course, took the opportunity to turn it into something negative. He said, boy, your show's a lot better when Nick's not here.
I mean...
No. You know what? If you get a topic like that, I mean, I could have had a Mickey Mouse producing, and it would have been... That would have been entertaining, actually. Could you see Mickey weighing in on that? I think you're being a little hard on Tim. What are you talking about, Mick? I think you're really ripping him a little bit there, sir. Mickey, easy. Minnie's online, too. Screw her. I'm busy talking to you. Wow, Mick, stop. That would be entertaining.
I'm trying to buy this Blanken basketball. Where is it?
You got to do a Google search for Baden, B-A-D-E-N, Baden Harlem Globetrotter basketball. And it's red, white, and blue. It's about 30-some-odd bucks, and it's right, it's real,
this,
and
I'm
it's
doing
spectacular.
This with my left hand, so.
That's all I'm telling you.
Globetrotter.
My birthday is today. When is yours, Bob? Capricorn. Born a goat. I'm not a Capricorn. I'm an Aquarius. January 29th. It is the dawning of the days of Aquarius.
All right. Official 29.5.
Yep, color, that's the one. 29.5 is the men's size. Ball.
Color white?
No! Well, color. It's a red one. Isn't there a picture of the damn thing? Are you on a Russian website or something? Go to an American website where they have basketballs. It took me 3 seconds to find it yesterday. How the hell is it making it so hard for you to find?
We're taking all the joy out of this surprise gift. We have it. We're good.
When is it going to be delivered?
Let's see here. Check out. Let's see.
Will it be here for my birthday?
Oh,
here we go. He can't read Russian.
Something about comrade birthday belongs to you. No. I don't know. Check out. It says a couple of days. I think we got more than a puncher's chance.
Oh, 29th?
Yeah,
better
you got
make
20
it.
Days. You got 3 weeks.
Oh, it'll be here. That'll be tasty. And you could actually use it, by the way. I'm not going to put it on a shelf. I'm going to play with that basketball. It's for indoor or outdoor use, which means basically those are the only 2 places you could play. So you could just say you could use it anywhere, unless you're an astronaut, I guess. Maybe it's not built for space, but for everywhere else. It seems fine. Nick's got some comedy routine going
image.
In his head.
No, I just have this image of the ball getting delivered here, okay. And Drew say, Bob, now you can only play with this outside of the studio, and then he leaves to go work out, and then you're just like, nuts to that, guys, and then everyone's back there bouncing the ball, trying to dunk. Sweeney has to close the door because you're running into his office and everything like that.
Yep.
And then you break something, and then you pin it on Crean. And then
no, you know who won? And, we did the poll yesterday. Who was responsible for the stream being down?
Yeah, who was it? What was it? Pudding? Wasn't like pudding?
One of the choices was produce. Second was Crean.
Prominent Booster.
Prominent Booster won handily. Yeah. Got like 62% of the vote.
What was the other one? There was some sort of food. It was like...
Oh, hot chocolate.
Yeah, hot chocolate. That's right.
Yes, I thought that was appropriate. Well, now I'm in that awkward zone here where if we go to break... We're not going to have enough time to do our contest.
I just asked how old you were going to be, and I said, like, what, 50?
Give this guy. You know what? I'll take – give him $6 back. I'll put his share in. Yes, he knows. This kid knows how to play the game. Very bright young man. That's very smart. Very smart guy.
Produce the brown-nosed reindeer.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, produce with your nose so brown. Now find a room for brown, rhyme for brown. What are you going to do with that?
Won't you help me save this town?
Oh, nice. Go flatter all the politicians. Then they'll give us all their grants. There you go. I just envision all these reindeer and produce looking exactly like he looks in the cartoon, bopping around. Saying I'm going downtown to the North Pole, the North Pole County offices. Who do you want me to kiss up to? That Mrs. They got to get something around with grants. Go talk to Mrs. Chance.
Chance. They can legalize green plants.
Now, Santa's in that business now too. Yikes!
It's all about a happy holiday.
Process
is from Philly. Isn't there like natural enemy Santa Claus?
That's a great point. That's a good point. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, "Proto, stop choking me, you son of a." I got a Santa. It's in my blood. I'm from Philly. Get your foot off Santa's chest. The elves are all biting him around the ankle. Stop it. You're ruining Christmas. Bobby, are you speaking to the AFLAC group here in Louisville? I am. At least I'm supposed to, unless they listen to the show and say, we don't want this jackass. Quick, get Johnson on the phone. Cancel that idiot. There's a good chance we can get... who won the female host? We'll get her. Get Kelly Kay. She won't be bringing this kind of junk over here. But get the Hoops Green. She sounds like a nice girl. Get her. You know, she actually has to go into the cities ahead of the Globetrotters to do the promotional work. She's like, that's pretty good. I mean, that's...
She's almost like the recon team.
She goes ahead and tells everybody, come see the games, and you like her because she's funny and she's sweet and she's nice. And then you say, I would like to go watch them play. And then you buy tickets, and then she's off. But like they're going from here to... are they in Lexington first or second? I can't remember. They're in Lexington and they're here. And then they're going to Indy. She's got to go to Indy ahead of them and tell everybody up there. And then, you know, and I asked her, can I have the ball? And then she, as soon as we were done spinning it, I said, this is great. I've already got it in my hands. I'm going to give her a real graceful way. I said, just keep it. And as soon as it was done, she basically was like, had me trapped in the corner in a basketball game. She just stripped it clean, stuck it back in her bag. And I was like, damn. I was like, make no mistake about that, huh? All right, well, get out.
There are many balls, but this one is mine.
This one is the part of the Globetrotters. We are a for-profit organization, Chubby. Now give that thing back. You want one? Get your wallet out. So that's how that's working.
She's talking bad junk to you.
She was She did nothing like that. She was completely nice and funny.
Are they still play the Washington Generals?
Yes, the Washington Generals. Absolutely. Who are actually you could make $1 million on this bet. Do you know the general manager of the, according to the website of the Washington Generals, is Babe Ruth? No, Kenny Smith.
What?
Kenny Smith?
Really?
Yes. I mean, I envision like in between takes on the show on TNT, he's got phones all over the place. Hey, this is Kenny. Listen, we're looking for a power forward for the Generals. I'm sick of getting my ass kicked from these guys. We lost 1,400 games in a row. We are going to put a stop to that this year.
Who do you think I am? The Knicks? How dare you?
Kenny, Knicks are on line one. They say they like the way you do business. Can you come and interview? He's like, I'd like to, but I don't want to take a step back. I want more of a chance. I want more of a chance to win here with the Generals than I'd have with the Knicks. So there's that. All right.
Got a much better young core.
They do. I think it's time for us to step aside. But on the other side, you'll want to play Mystery Voice. And then I've got a story to go with the Mystery Voice.
Oh, that reminds me. I think because we're kind of – we're going to do a conference call a little later. No. Not a conference call. God, a VCAP. We do need to do a feature. But I saw this thing. There's this thing going around on Twitter.
It's called the flu.
There's that too. I got that. Believe me. It's you tweet it. You quote tweet it with a crazy story about yourself.
It sounds like it's made up, but it's actually true.
And a lot of people have been doing travel stories. Like Brett McMurphy had one, which was nuts. Like on a student trip, his plane got taken hostage.
Wow.
And he just sat on the tarmac for like 6 hours. And then they saved everybody and everything was good. I mean, it's crazy. But a lot of people have been saying, yeah, Brett, you win, because that one is definitely pretty intense. You can find it. It's on his Twitter. But You put the one about getting locked in a high life for Anton, and I do kind of think that story probably needs to be shared. We do that once a year.
It's one of those stories that unless you experienced it as I did, and there's not one word of this that's made up. It sounds like I ate that pepperoni pizza before bed last night. I had this ridiculous dream where I almost got locked into an abandoned high life for Anton, and it's truly bizarro. By the way, Jamie responded.
Oh, okay.
He called the radio show. The topic for today's hockey chat on...
Does this have anything to do with Igor and the Rangers?
No. Topic was on dynasties, love them or hate them, or battleship teams. Jamie weighed in to say, I hate dynasties personally, but I think it's actually good for the growth of the game. So many people, especially in this town, were either diehard Penguins fans or hated them and couldn't name any other player other than Sidney Crosby. Then we talked a little Rangers.
Proud of you. Good job, Jamie. We gotta find that audio. What show was it?
I don't know. Like, no disrespect. I don't think I've ever listened to the NHL channel.
Really?
Well, I mean.
No. You might be the only person on the planet that has not listened to the NHL channel.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.